series on the secret to dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. Are there any people here tonight that weren't here two Wednesday nights ago when I started talking about that? If you're here, just a couple of folks. Y'all weren't here when I... Where were y'all? Oh, you were in the preschool. Okay. All right. You don't have to tell me where you were. That's okay. But I talked about the secret to dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. And we talked about what the greatest difficulty might be, what you might be considering the greatest difficulty in your life. But I read a quote from, I told a little story, and I'll just tell it to you tonight, about a man that had come up, a young minister had come to see John Wesley. And John Wesley, as you might remember, was the founder of the Methodist Church. And John Wesley, when he had revelation from on high, and he was walking in God's plan for him, he came in his life in different times. He came under great persecution. But he yet lived to fulfill his ministry, lived to be an elderly man. And once, as he was, out in a meeting, a young man came to him and said, I need to ask you. I just have been wondering, what, sir, would you consider the greatest difficulty in your life? The greatest thing you faced, the biggest challenge, what's been the greatest difficulty in your life? And without hesitation, John Wesley looked at him and said, oh boy, that's an easy one. Me. The greatest difficulty I've faced has been me. And, sometimes we look at ourselves and feel kind of hopeless, maybe. But Wesley had said, without a doubt, I've been my own greatest difficulty. And I think that not only would that be his testimony, but it's probably all of ours, too, that there are just things that we've had to deal with in ourselves that... I don't know about you, but I look at people and I see different things about their lives, like maybe your kids or someone. You think, if you could just change this, if you could just do this, then, things would be so much better. And you wonder, well, why don't they do that? And then you just wonder all the things that people see in you and that God sees in you and thinks, if you just make this little adjustment here, things would go a lot better for you. And you see them in yourself and you think, well, what's the deal there? Why does that seem like such a struggle? But in talking about this, I last week I got to, I think 7 points, but last week I managed to get, or 2 weeks ago, I managed to get through 2 of my 7 points. So tonight I hope we can get further than 2. But I started by reading a scripture that's familiar to most of us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And just want to, as we deal with this subject, want to just talk just a little bit, or maybe actually a whole lot, about this one particular thing, because we all, do you realize tonight you need help from heaven? You need some help. How many of you realize you need some help with you? Yeah. And so, we can all, we can talk about everybody else that needs help, but I can't really do much about everybody else that needs help. When it gets down to it, the person that I can do the most about is me. And so this that we're talking about, these things that we're talking about, really has to do with helping us deal with ourselves, make changes that we need to make, establish ourselves in our lives, things like that. But there's just this one key, this one secret that I'm talking about and trying to come at it from as many ways as I can to get it kind of through our thick heads. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, Paul said, writing here, he said, "For if I pray..." Well, actually, it's not verse 14. I misread my notes. It's chapter 14, but verse 4. And it says, "He who speaks in a tongue," and he's talking about here referring to speaking in tongues, other tongues, speaking, praying in the Spirit, praying by the Holy Spirit, praying in your prayer language, however way you want to say it. Paul described it as by saying, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." And this word edify, we've talked about a lot here at this church. The word edify, the most literal rendering of it, is it means to charge up. Like you charge up a battery, charge up your cell phone battery, charge up your car battery if your car battery died off. It's to charge up, to energize. But got to doing a little looking into this word edifies, and I found some meanings, different meanings of the word edifies. And I just like to kind of explore that. And that's what we're doing in this series. The word edify means to build up, you know, really to charge up, to build up your, that's really what it's talking about when it says, when I talk about charging up, it's talking about building up, like you build up the energy store in your battery. Well, the first meaning of the word edify is to build. The first meaning, and it's, and so you could read the scripture this way. He that speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, you remember we talked about when you pray in tongues, you're actually building yourself spiritually. You're building yourself from the inside. And I reminded you of the scripture where, it's written, unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it labor in vain. In other words, you can build a lot of stuff on your own, but it's in vain unless He builds it. So you can build things in your life, and you can build your life, and you can build your ministry, and you can build your marriage, and you can build your family, and you can build your career, and you can build your business, and you can build your, you know, your community. You can build a church. All of those things can be built in natural ways. And you and me as people, just with our own smarts, our own skills, our own, you know, charm, we can build things. But, but unless we build it, unless He builds it in us and through us, it's all in vain. Just because something is built doesn't mean it's grand and should be, you know, receiving accolades and we should be, you know, really giving honor to it. It's what He builds that really matters. And the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, it builds us. It builds us on the inside. So one way that you're built spiritually, part of growing spiritually, part of being developed spiritually, part of building yourself as a spiritual being is to pray in other tongues. And that's one thing that's happening in your life as you pray in tongues and speak in tongues, is it's actually building you on the inside. That's one thing that's happening. And if you have, you know, maybe we can get some witnesses here. For those of you who have spoken in tongues for a while and that's been a normal part of your life, have you had a sense that as you, over time, as you've spoken in tongues, that that has been a part of building something within your life? I mean, I can definitely say I identify very strongly with this, that it's building something on the inside of me. And, you know, it doesn't all happen at once. No building is built, you know, overnight, and nothing worthwhile is built quickly. But over time, you're built spiritually, and God's building you. And as you pray in tongues, it builds you. And as you pray in tongues about your family, it'll build your family. And you pray in the Spirit as the Spirit leads you and gives you utterance about your career, about your business, about, you know, your education, all those things that are in our lives. As we pray in the Spirit over those things, it builds those things. It gives the spiritual building blocks are being released as you pray in the Spirit. Now, the second meaning of that word edify is to kindle. And to kindle is to, like, igniting a fire. And so you could say he that speaks in an unknown tongue kindles himself or ignites a fire in himself or throws wood on or stokes the fire that's already there burning. It's to ignite or to keep, you know, to cause it to burn brighter. It kindles it. It you know, causes something to inflame. And so that's another meaning. Whenever you're speaking in tongues, you're igniting a fire within yourself. Now, surely you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, surely you can identify with this. That it's like, you know, there are times when you, I mean, this has happened to me many, many, many times that I'll be praying in the Spirit, and it's like a fire burning up inside of me, roaring up within me. I mean, I can just be kind of cold, just, you know, flat. Y'all ever get flat? I mean, I know you do because you come in here on Wednesday nights kind of flat. So you can get flat. You can get kind of down. You can get sort of bored. You can get this humdrum. You know, that's life. That's life on planet Earth for us humans. But by praying in other tongues, speaking in other tongues, you can literally, like, strike a match inside of you. And you can cause an ignition of some things in there. And I'm telling you, it's so supernatural to be flat, to be humdrum, to be just nothing's going on, just blah, and to begin to pray in other tongues and to feel, and I don't mean feel as in a physical way, but you even sometimes do feel it physically, but to sense, but spiritually just something's being ignited in there, and you can just, I mean, you can get a roaring fire going inside of you just by praying in tongues, just burning up within you. And really, as it's kindled, as that fire is kindled within you, it's ignited, or it's like, you know, you have a little bitty, we make in our house a lot of bonfires. We have this fire pit out back, and we have several pyromaniacs that live in our house. And so I'll never forget that the time I looked out back, and there was this 50-foot-high flame shooting up over the trees, you know. I was thinking we're all done for here. But anyway, this is the kind of stuff that happens at my house sometimes. But, you know, sometimes in that fire pit, there'll be like little just embers, and you can throw in some leaves and throw in some branches that are dried and get there. And I tell you, you can get a good crackling fire. That, I mean, it'll be up here, just a big old fire going. And that's, you know, even you might be just smoldering around on the inside, like nothing much going on. You just feel like you're kind of just down to the coals. But you can pray in the Spirit, and it'll just stoke you up, man. And, you know, it's interesting to me how many times I'll come to church, and I'm not necessarily all ablaze. And we'll just have praise and worship. During praise and worship, I'll just begin to worship God in other tongues. And it seems like something will get a hold of me. Does that ever happen to any of y'all? Am I the only person? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Something will just come up inside of me. Sometimes it might be just, we had that a couple of Sunday mornings ago. I think two Sunday mornings ago, I was just down there minding my own business. I wasn't going to bother anybody, just praying in the Spirit, just worshiping God, and just like just fire came up inside of me, and I had a word for a couple of people, and it just like it seems like it comes up out of nowhere. But it's sometimes you can throw something on a fire and it'll blaze up. Well, when you pray in the Spirit, it'll ignite something, it'll kindle something inside of you. And the really good thing about this, to me, is, you know, like I said a minute ago, being humdrum or bored or kind of flat, that's just, I mean, life can do you that way. But we have something within us, something that I can do on purpose whenever I need to, whenever I want to really just light myself back up, to fan the flames, and to do what Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy. He said, that is why I would remind you to stir up, and the Amplified actually uses the word rekindle, to stir up, rekindle the embers of, and fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. He's saying to Timothy, the things that you have received, the gifts that have come into you, even at your ordination, which was likely a very significant high spiritual point in the life of Timothy, Paul's saying you can rekindle that, and you can cause those flames to burn bright again just by praying in tongues. It can be rekindled inside of you. And he said you stir it up yourself. And that's a real point to learn, because there are lots of people that will tell you, I'm just feeling kind of cold spiritually. You know, I'm just sort of feeling, you know, just kind of, I've cooled off here spiritually. Well, you know, it's not the job of the Holy Spirit to heat you up. It's not God's job to keep you spiritually excited. And guess what? It ain't my job either. It's your job to keep yourself stirred up. That's why, I mean, if anybody, you know, would have been responsible for Timothy's spiritual well-being, his leader, his elder, it would have been Paul. But Paul's writing saying, look, Timothy, you keep yourself stirred up. And one of the best ways you can do that is by kindling yourself, by praying in the Holy Spirit, kindling that flame within you. And so that's great news, because you and me, we need that. And one thing I see, people get in the spiritual doldrums. You know, I mean, sometimes you think it's tough coming to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, coming to School for Life week after week. You think, you know, maybe sometimes you get a little bored with that. Hey, you know, what am I going to go over there for? What's going to be happening? Imagine if you had to be the one that actually had to say something every week. You know, sometimes I say to Matt, you mean I have to receive the offering again? I mean, I receive the offering at least 50 times a year. I mean, I've received the offering at Good News Church over 500 times. Frankly, I can't think of anything else to say. Y'all give. Goodbye. You know? How many services? Twice a week? That's 100 times a year. Well, several years I did 3 times a week. That's 150 times a year. I mean, I don't have much left to say. And then, for all of you who are here on Wednesday night, you know this better than anybody. Every time I do talk, I just say the same things anyway. Somehow in there, it's Jesus, He's the deal, let's believe in Him, let's forget depending on ourselves, because we missed it big time anyway, so we'll just depend on Him to make it for us, and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and go on. So basically, that's the bottom line on everything I say anyway. So why, you know, and so, with this, it's not like there's a new gospel. I mean, it's the New Testament, but frankly, it's the only, you know, it's not new to me this year. It was new when I was, it's the old one to me. There's 2 old ones to me. There's the old one and the older one, but I've had them both the whole time. How about you? So, you know, you get to think about, there's not like a new gospel. People are out looking for something new, and boy, you can, in fact, I'm going to talk about that in a little while. You can get yourself in bad trouble out looking for something new. I mean, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the finished work of the cross, there's not much else. So you can, in some ways, you can grow bored. But what happens is you can get into the doldrums. But if you will stir yourself up, kindle yourself by praying in the Spirit, you'll start seeing things afresh and anew. You'll see things in a new way you hadn't seen before. There'll be a new little thing pop up, and you're like, whoa, my goodness, where'd that come from? You know, I think I'm not doing it this session, but most sessions I teach Abundant Life. I've been teaching Abundant Life since 1998. So I'm teaching this Abundant Life class in School for Life, teaching it. I mean, you think after a while you could not, because here's the reality. I could pretty much go in there with no notes or anything and just rattle off a whole class, you know. But it's so interesting to me when I go in and I'm teaching it and have taught it and wrote this outline and have rewritten it and re-recorded it. And I'll go in there and teach and I'll see something I never saw before. I'll come in there after class, come into the study, and I'll just be so high. I'm telling Matt all this stuff I learned in Abundant Life. It's so funny to me whenever people tell me, oh, you know, I already know all that. I don't have to go through your foundations class, do you? I already know all that. And I'm wanting to say, look, Jack, I wrote this class again and again. I've taught it again and again, and I don't know it all. Who made you so smart? But the reality is there's so much more just in everything you already know. Every scripture that you know, that you've squeezed every bit of revelation out of, there's something fresh and new in it. And it can be ignited in you as you pray in the Spirit. Happens to me a lot. Thank God. It's one of my very favorite things that ever happens. It's just when you see something fresh and new by the ignition that'll come through speaking in other tongues. So now, that's what we talked about last time. So let's get to number 3. What is the third thing in the meaning? Now, what we're doing is I've looked into, see, what does the word edify mean? Because it means more than just to be charged up. There's different aspects or angles of this word edify. And we know from 1 Corinthians 14 that he that speaks in a tongue, or he who speaks in tongues, he edifies himself. He builds himself. He kindles himself, ignites himself. And here's the third meaning of this word edify, and you're going to like it. One meaning of this word is organize. He who speaks in an unknown tongue organizes himself. Now, something that's organized has a sense of order. If something's organized, if you say, you know, if I say to the kids, y'all come in and you organize your shoes, then there should be some sense of order. If I come in and it's just a heaped up pile, they're not organized. But it should be, you know, a little brown shoe beside a little brown shoe and, a black sandal by a black sandal, and there should be some order. So order goes with organization. And to organize something, it has the sense that maybe it was out of order and it's been brought into order. Well, he that speaks in an unknown tongue organizes himself. And, you know, people, and there may be some tonight, some of us here tonight, that struggle with bringing to order things in their lives, bringing different aspects or, you know, parts of your life to order. I mean, life today is very busy and there's chaos in places and messiness and lack of structure. And not just because it was structured and now it's been, you know, disorganized, not because it, you know, was structured and now it's a big mess, but it, everything that comes starts as an idea, and at some point structure has to be given to something that's just an idea. This morning I had this great idea, and then I spent about 3 hours trying to bring order to my great idea. Well, one thing that happens as you pray in the Spirit is He enables you to bring order. Order will come. Organization will come to you. And this is a very practical thing, this praying in the Spirit. Order. Now, as I was meditating on this, I thought about Genesis 1-2. Genesis 1-2 says, y'all remember Genesis when the earth was being created? Right after, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2 says, and the earth was a mess. It was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, the earth was without order. And really, those words, if you study that, without form and void, it really means in utter chaos. I don't think we have any idea what it means. I mean, you may have been somewhere and seen, you know, you may have looked in a closet, you may have seen some houses where it looked like there was without form and void, but I'm telling you, we don't have any idea of the chaos that planet Earth was in Genesis 1-2. It was a scene of disorder. In fact, those words mean, you know, paint a picture of confusion, a lack of arrangement. So confusion, lack of arrangement, desolation, barrenness, utter disarray. A formless, chaotic mess, a waste, a worthless thing. Emptiness and desolation, and it's the opposite of order and balance. That was what was on planet Earth. That's what it means when it says without form and void. Tohu ba bohu is the Hebrew. It means just an utter mess. However, you can let that be in your thinking, an utter mess. But the last part of that verse, it, you know, really brings something that's hopeful here. It says, the earth was without form and void, just an utter mess, complete chaos, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And isn't that interesting? And now, if you have read Genesis 1, you know that it didn't stay without form and void. The Holy Spirit, when the Father said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit went to work. His power was released. The Father authorized him by his words to go out and to maneuver and to do some things. That is the Holy Spirit who brought order, who separated the, you know, the land from the firmament, who put the planets and the sky and the moon and the sun, and he ordered the days and the nights, and he made the trees and the different varieties and the plants and the animals and all the things that he did to bring order. That is who lives inside of you. And that who is enabling you to speak in tongues. And that's whose power you're releasing as you speak in tongues. And he, I'm telling you, his power can bring some order. It can bring some structure. His power can organize some stuff. If he did it on planet Earth. I mean, isn't this kind of a really fresh way of looking at edifying yourself? He who speaks in an unknown tongue organizes himself. Brings order to himself. Now, it doesn't just mean like brings order in a physical way. It can bring order to your mind. Your mind may be disordered. Your emotions may be out of order. There may be relationships that need to be ordered. There can be, you know, your thinking about money can be disordered. Your finances. There can be, you know, your career path can be disordered. All these things in your life can be disordered. But as you speak in other tongues, it releases this divine creative power, this power to bring order in your life. And as you pray in tongues, he empowers you and he brings you wisdom and ideas and insights and really shows you how things fit together, and he shows you what belongs and he shows you what doesn't belong. All that becomes apparent to you as you speak in other tongues. That's what's coming up out of you, his wisdom, his insight. and you can see, hey, this is, because did any of y'all ever watch those shows on HGTV or am I the only one that just loves to watch HGTV? There's a show, I'm not sure it's on that. Maybe it's on Channel 25. What's that? TLC. Yeah. It's where they go in and it's called Clean Sweep. That's the show. Clean Sweep. And what they do is they go in somewhere that's just a mess. And I don't know about y'all, but when I'm looking at that show, I sure feel a lot better about myself. Because I'm going, I ain't never seen anything like that. So you're seeing there, because you think it's bad at your place until you watch this. And it's amazing. So there's the mess. And they come in and the idea behind the show is they're going to come in and they're going to clean the place out. They're going to bring order to it and bring the people back in. And I always wonder, my question is, and 6 months later? Because, anyway, I won't go into all that. But anyway, there we are with the clean sweep. Well, one thing I noticed they do, I thought this was real good and I've been applying this. Whenever they come in and clean up, like me, I used to, if I was going to clean out a chest of drawers, I'd go through the chest of drawers and I'd just take out what I thought we needed to get rid of. Or if I was going to clean a room, I'd just take stuff out. Well, what they did is they come in and they take everything out of the room completely. And then they put only stuff back in that needs to go. They're choosing what goes in instead of, because you're going to choose a lot less to go back in that way. And then, you sell or give away or throw away a lot of stuff. Well, I'm thinking about that. The Holy Spirit, as He organizes our lives, one thing that He does, He wants to do a clean sweep in your life. And He'll come in and say, get rid of this, throw this away, give this away, let that alone, keep this, hang on to this. And it can be anything from what you do with your time to what you do with your money to your stuff to relationships in your life. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, this relationship right here needs to be swept away out of your life. It's bringing chaos. It's clutter in your life. It's a problem. It's something that doesn't belong. All that can come to you out of praying in the Holy Spirit. So, I started this by talking about the biggest problem, the greatest difficulty any of us have in our lives is us. And this is one way to bring some order, organization, structure in our lives and things. Some of you, I'm looking at y'all, and I know you are very structured, very organized people. You are beavers. No, you are very structured and organized people. But the most structured and organized one here among us, you really, just as much as I do, you really need the power of the Holy Spirit to bring order in your life. Because it might be that you might have your drawers all ordered, but there might be other areas of your thinking and in your life that need to be ordered by God, need to be organized. There's some thinking that needs to be discarded. Maybe it's some fears that you've been hanging on to and embracing that need to be discarded. And your life needs some organization. Just emotionally, there might be some things that need to be restructured. But speaking in tongues brings you into the flow of what God, would have you to do about things. Now, one thing that it does, and this is kind of a little different way of looking at it, speaking in tongues will bring you into the flow of the order of what God is doing by His Spirit. Concerning the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Any of y'all interested in learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how to operate in those and flow in those and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, have Him speak through you and minister to other people? Well, speaking in tongues, let me just say this. Whenever the gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation, they're always in order. There's always an organization by it, of it. There's always an organization. There's always a structure. Now, it's not necessarily man's structure. It may not be a structure that you could draw out on a graph before it happens. But to me, one of the most amazing things about being in a service wherever the Holy Spirit is flowing is when you look back at it, and it's not always that apparent when it's going on, but you look back and it's so interesting how there's such an order to the thing. And when it's God, there will be order. It may seem disordered, because you may have somebody up here laughing and somebody back there crying, and you might have somebody rolling between them, or you might have, you know, a high point and a low point. You might have, there's all kinds of things that can happen as orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, but there will be order. In fact, the same chapter that talks about the edification that we receive as we pray in tongues, in verse 33, so it's 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And then on down in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. So the Holy Spirit, He is not the author of confusion. So when He's manifesting Himself, there won't be confusion. That's not to say that everybody there will completely understand, but the people who He's using, they're not confused. They shouldn't be confused. If they are confused, then it's really not God, or they're missing Him in some way. But He's not the author of confusion, meaning just chaos. He doesn't come in somewhere and just cause chaos. Even on the day of Pentecost, when people thought they were drunk out in the streets, there was actually divine order there. He's the author not of confusion, but of peace. And then Paul writing said, let all things, and he's talking about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, let all things be done decently and in order. Just showing you that the Holy Spirit, when He works and He orders things and He brings things in order. Now, as you pray in the Holy Spirit, you will be more sensitive to divine order in services, in God's order and His design for the flow or the move of the Holy Spirit through His people. And I don't know what your experience is or how you've developed in this, but it's so amazing how you can be in a service, and it won't be my service. It won't even be at this church. I'll be somewhere, like in a meeting with Dr. Ed Dufresne somewhere or whatever. And it's on the inside of me, I will sense that this is where we're going. This is what's happening. This is what direction we're going in. But it's so interesting to me when I'm here at this church and this happens and you don't know it because you don't have the insight into it. How many times does Matt do something that just hooked right up with something that I had on the inside of me? And it will be ordered just like this. I mean, there's a lot of times y'all think we plan things and we didn't even have the foggiest notion what we were doing. It just all worked out because the Holy Spirit was ordering it. And so we're going, my goodness, did it? But nobody really knows that but us, that what really happened. But it doesn't have to be us. You can be right in the flow of what God is doing. You can have your part. Because see, God never meant church or meetings or services to be, you know, one person doing it all, two people doing it all. He has always planned that we would be a body functioning together. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to come up and take the microphone and do something, but there are parts that you play, and your part can have a great effect. It might be that you reach over and clasp somebody's hand. It might be that you pray, end up praying with somebody or for something. Maybe I don't know, there's all kind of parts you can play in a service. But you can have a part and be sensitive to the divine order of what God's doing, and you will be more sensitive to it if you pray in the Holy Spirit. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you organize yourself, you order yourself, and you bring yourself into His order. You know, people love to be, a lot of Spirit-filled Christians love to be in services where God's manifesting Himself in, you know, unusual ways, or where there's the gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation. But a lot of times people want to come and spectate. They want to see what so-and-so's doing, what that guy's doing. You know, it's all about, let's come and y'all put on some entertainment for me, almost like. Kind of crazy, but that's how people are. But the reality is, you can be a participant, not just a spectator. And the fastest way for you to be a participant is for you to pray in the Spirit. Because as you pray in the Spirit, you get sensitive to the order, and you'll be receiving direction and insight on the inside. Now, this is a good word for next Tuesday and Wednesday night when Dr. Dufresne's here. One of the best things you can do before you come to service next Tuesday night and Wednesday night, even if you have to do it in the car on the way over, even if you have to do it while you're brushing your teeth before you come or whatever you're doing, take a little time. You can just do it under your breath if you want, and pray in the Spirit. Because as you pray in the Spirit, you are ordering yourself and bringing yourself. So you don't know, you're not preaching, you're not ministering, you don't know what's going on, but the Spirit who lives within you does. And you can bring yourself into order and come in here and be right in the flow, right in the order of what's happening. Instead of coming in and being like, okay, what are you going to do? All right. Okay. All right, well, I'll do that. And you can just come in and be hooked up and be right in the order. Now, I see Sharon Vargo back there. How many times after service has Sharon Vargo said to me, you know, that you were talking about tonight or this morning, that I got that this week. I was studying the Bible. I was praying, and I saw the same thing you were talking about. That's what God said to me this week. Well, do you know what happened as she prayed? And then as she studied, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit organized her, ordered her, brought her into the order of what he had going. Have you ever had that happen to you? Yeah, you've had it happen to you. I'm sure all of you have had that at one point or another, had that happen. That is a part of that edification that happens as you pray in the Spirit. Let me see what else I have here. Romans 8:27. Here's kind of another little part of this. I had a lot about this being organized because there's so much to this. Romans 8:27. Well, Romans 8:26 talks about with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's referring specifically to the Holy Spirit giving you utterance as you pray in tongues. And then down in Romans 8:27, and then verse 28, it says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And part of the thought here is as you pray in the Spirit, you are enabling the Holy Spirit to pray through you, making intercession for you and for others according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, one way you could look at the word purpose is according to his deliberate plan, according to his deliberate plan and design, what God's designing, what God is purposing. Okay, as you pray in the Spirit, you are enabling, and talking about organizing, you are enabling your life to be organized by the Holy Spirit. And when he organizes you, he's organizing you according to God's plan, his design, his purpose for you. Have you ever sensed something in your life was just a little bit out of whack? Okay, let me ask this. Have you ever sensed something in your life just like way out of whack? You know that things just aren't exactly, I mean, you go through periods of time, it just seems like something here is out of order. In fact, most of the time something seems out of order somewhere between all the different areas of your life. But there's something going on over here that's just not right. Something here with my job, something going on here with how I'm serving in the church, something that's going on with, you know, my family. There's something here. I'm out of whack here just somewhat, maybe a whole lot. Well, as you pray in the Spirit, you are praying. That's just what Romans 8 is talking about here. You are praying God's divine purpose. It's not just praying it one day. It's actually as you are praying, the power of God is being released to bring order in that area, to bring order and structure and organization and to bring it into God's design and framework and his purpose there, bringing it together. And really, you will receive clarity. Things will become more clear to you as you pray in the Spirit. If there's something in your life that's fuzzy or hazy or cloudy, as you pray in the Spirit, you'll get, things will become clear. Like I was telling you this morning, I had this great idea. Well, this great idea I had this morning was about something that has been so fuzzy to me and so cloudy. And I'm telling you, I have prayed about it and I've prayed about it. But then this morning, all of a sudden, clarity began to come. Just began to clear up. It's like, you know, you ever been driving along? And when we lived in Oklahoma, they used to have signs on the road, and it would be smoke. What was it, Matt, those signs would say? Those smoke signs on the side of the road, you remember? There'd be these big, big signs, and it would say, turn your lights on, there's smoke, or it would say, because they had a problem. I don't know why. Anybody, y'all ever lived in Oklahoma and seen these signs? Okay. There were these big signs about the smoke, and it was so weird because they were there all the time, but there wouldn't be smoke. But every now and then there would be smoke. The roads would be covered with smoke. I don't know if it was a haze. I don't know exactly if it was just low clouds, but they said smoke, beware these smoke screens. And when you had smoke like that, you couldn't see. It'd be a long period of time. You'd have to go really slow. You'd have to have your lights on low, dim your lights. And you'd have to drive slowly. And so anyway, I remember that because you'd come up on one of those big places where there was smoke and clouds and you couldn't see anything. It was scary. Well, in life, we face that often. Do y'all ever face that? Maybe y'all, I don't know, maybe I'm talking to people tonight, it's got it all together. Maybe y'all just, you know, maybe you're so much in a fog, you don't even know you're in a fog. But there are just things in life that are hazy. Have you noticed that? Part of the haze will come from Him, because when He starts to deal with you, you don't see everything crystal clear. You just kind of have a nudging, an inkling, something's going on here. And then you'll start to see some stretching out. Praying in the Spirit, when something's hazy, when something's fuzzy, I can tell you this, the best thing that you can do is pray in tongues about that situation. Just pray in tongues about it, because as you do, He will bring order. He will bring organization. He will bring structure, and you'll start to see things. This morning, I started seeing things that I've been trying to see. I've been groping. I could tell you, let me tell you what I've done, trying to find answers. How many websites have I been on trying to find answers? How many books? How many people have I talked to? How many places have I looked? I've done so many things it was just so fuzzy. And then now, suddenly, this order, organization is coming. Didn't happen in a moment. And that might be, you might be saying, well, you know, Pastor Susie, I've tried that and it didn't work. Well, keep praying. Edification will come. The organization will come. The order will come. Just keep praying. Like I've said 1,000 times, praying in tongues is supernatural. It is flat out the easiest thing you can do that's just pure supernatural. And so you can do that and keep doing it and keep doing it. And I'm telling you, the haze will start to clear up and you'll start to be able to see some things. And so you'll start to see God's purpose for you, and you'll start to see His plans, and you'll start to see what He'd have you to do and the pathway that God would, you know, have you to take. You know, one of the things that Jesus did is He brought in His teaching, in His actions, what He did. He came in and demonstrated a whole new order for people. People in that day and time, they were used to the order of the law, the old covenant. Matt talked on Sunday a lot of things, you know. Remember the situation Jesus faced with the woman who'd been caught in adultery and they were going to stone her, remember? And Jesus said, He brought in new order. He said, let, you know, whoever here is without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. In doing that, Jesus brought a new order. A new world order. No, He brought in new order. He brought in a whole new way of looking at things. And you and me, no matter where we are in our development spiritually, there are some new order that we need. There's some things that need to be ordered anew. You know, your life can be just God's plan for you. I mean, I'm looking here at Tony Estrada. Tony is at a different place in life now than she was 15 years ago. The order that God would have for her now is not the same thing. She can't just go back to 15 years ago what He told her to do. If she could even hear from God 15 years ago, I don't think you were saved then, were you, 15 years ago, Tony? Were you saved? How long have you been saved? Okay, so 15 years ago she wasn't even saved. But even if she had been and she had known God's plan, you can't just look back and say, oh, well, 15 years ago this is what I was doing, so I'll just keep doing that. No, God has new phases. He has new places. We can't just come over here, this building, and we're going to do what we did 7 years ago. There's new places, there's new phases, and that part of that new order. Jesus introduced new order in the beginning of a great big whole new way of thinking called grace. But in that same way, in our lives, there's new phases. There are phases of ministry. There's phases of life. There's seasons of life. And you have to get God's order and His structure and His organization for every phase and for every... You don't just get it and you got it done, check that off, going down the road, and you've got it. I mean, the longer that I walk with God, the more I see. I need to hear from Him all the time, and I need to be ordered and reordered and adjusted and readjusted. All of us do. You know, just when you think you've got it all figured out, you figure out, oh, I didn't really know as much as I thought I did. Maybe that, you know, you need some reordering, it's a new phase, new something going along here. And then finally, on this whole idea of organization and he who speaks in an unknown tongue organizes himself, there's this idea. There is you and me, there is for us a spiritual order that we are all to maintain. This is for every believer. Matthew 6:33. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So that's order. First is order. And His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. This is speaking to us about having spiritual order in our lives. So there's actually order for us in a spiritual sense. And, you know, being organized spiritually, being organized with your time, being organized with your thought life, being organized with your emotional energy, it should all be going first and foremost, your passion. It should all be going first and foremost towards the kingdom of God and being right with Him, maintaining your relationship with Him. And being aware of your relationship with Him, righteousness, seeking first His kingdom and righteousness, that's spiritual order. Now, people get that whacked up all the time. People get that out of order. I mean, the Bible, Jesus said people will start off and they will be doing this, seeking first the kingdom of God, and they'll be bearing fruit. But then the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, lust for other things will enter in, and it'll get them out of order. When you're experiencing a lust for something else, do you know what's being challenged? Your spiritual order, the order, divine order for your life is being challenged there. When you're lusting for other things, when you're allowing the cares of the world to overcome you, you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Because He goes on here to say, we shouldn't even be worried about anything. These are the verses that talk about there's no reason for you to worry about anything. Do you know why worry gets in and gets a hold of us? Because we get disordered. We get things out of order. We get things out of order in our thinking. We start, instead of thinking about the kingdom of God and how we rule and reign as kings in life through one Jesus Christ, thinking about how we're King's kids, we're God's representatives in this earth, how He supplies us, our supply line is from heaven, how we're dependent on Him, we start thinking about how are we going to meet our needs. We get focused in on where we, you know, how are we going to do something. When you have you on your mind, you're disordered. It's the truth. When you are on your mind, you're disordered because the kingdom of God's not on your mind. You can't both be on your mind all the time. And, you know, when you, and really righteousness, when it's talking about seeking first His righteousness, you cannot seek first His righteousness and have you on your mind all the time. Because seeking first His righteousness really, in the most primary way, says, I'm first and foremost seeking what Jesus has done for me. And every time, everything that I do, I'm doing it based on what Jesus has done for me. It's being God in, you know, it's being in Christ minded to the point that you yourself, you're swallowed up. That's seeking first His righteousness is being swallowed up in Christ. You're thinking swallowed up. It's not me, my limitations. It's not me and my problems. And it's not me and my strengths either. It's Him and what He's done for me and walking in the empowerment of that grace that's available in Christ. So that's all part of it. And when you have you on your mind, you're doing it, you're figuring it out, you're living by your strengths, you're all that, you're disordered. Y'all didn't know you had a disorder tonight, did you? You know, there's all kinds of things that psychiatrists have diagnosed as disorders. Well, one of the biggest disorders there is the not seeking first the kingdom of God disorder. You're disordered. If you're not seeking first the kingdom, you're not seeking first his righteousness, you're working for the Lord instead of serving him from a heart of gratitude. I'm working for Jesus. Get out of my way. I'll roll over you. You know, you're just disordered, and you need order brought back into your life. You know, one of the things that we did, those of you who were here for our Team Good News Advance, one of the things that advance was all about was bringing order. Because, you know, over time, things get out of order. And if you'll recall some of the things we talked about that day, we talked about the team image. That team image, when we talked about the character and the mission, and we talked about safety, and we talked about stewardship, and we talked about attitude, that was all about bringing order to Team Good News. The first thing we talked about was, what is our mission? What is our purpose? And we talked about, we are creating an environment where lives can be changed. You see that? That really had to do with this, seeking first the kingdom of God. All of that was about bringing order. Do you know where Team Good News Advance came from? Does anybody know where it came from? See, I found this really great website, and it told, you know, it had all these great points, and I just downloaded it all and handed it out to everybody, and we got up here and did it. It was great, wasn't it? I wish. But that Team Good News Advance came out of a lot of tongue praying by a lot of people. And it brought order. Just wanting you to see how things can be brought in order in a church, things can be brought in order in your life. Part of what happens as you pray in tongues is it makes you more sensitive to God's order, his organization of a church service, his organization for your life. It allows you to tune into him, to respond to him, to cooperate with him, to work with him, to pair up with him, and to accomplish things that you want to happen and things that, you know, he wants to happen too. Am I only going to get this one point tonight? If you're struggling, let me just say this. If you are struggling with the demands of life, if you're struggling with in your life, I don't have time, there's too much of a demand on me. You know, some of us, we can't pray because we don't have time. The more demands you have, the more prayer is required. You know, it doesn't make sense in a natural sort of way. It's like give and it shall be given to you. You think, if I need, why would I give? It's in the same way. If I need more time, why would I devote my time to praying in tongues and seeking first his kingdom? Because that will bring things in order. I'm telling you, logically, it might not make a lot of sense to you and you're thinking, but spiritually, it is just sound wisdom and a good practice, praying in tongues. Because I'll just, you know, close by saying this. He who speaks in an unknown tongue organizes or brings order to himself and becomes more sensitive to God's divine order and moving. Praise God. I didn't get to number 4. We'll get to it another day. Y'all wish I had a little more order in my messages, don't you? Praise God. Y'all stand and let's just take a few moments now. I meant to belabor this one because I think this is really critical for a lot of us, bringing some order in areas. And again, I'm not just talking about keeping your house clean. I'm talking about bringing order into God's purpose for you. Maybe the cares of the world. That this whole thing here about casting off the cares of this world. You're out of order if worry or anxiety, you're struggling with that, you're out of order. If you find yourself being drawn away to other things you're longing for, lusting for, or things in the world seem so appealing, you're getting out of order. And praying in tongues will bring you back into order. It will help you organize and bring order in your life. Praise God. So let's just spend a moment. We have a couple minutes. Let's just spend a moment and pray in the Spirit for the purpose of releasing some order in our lives. Father, we thank you for the ability to pray in other tongues, knowing that as we do, it organizes us and edifies us and brings order in our lives. Father, Loco dos embrede vini mas mendeve bogoshe le baste di vobokoshe embrede mise. Loco dos embele floto goshe le mbandeve mogondo se le baz embatere fi mahakasha. Es mendifi bisebo shife prehakandese. Lefre mamande se moshe briketise. La cadun dos ma e monto le blif minte shepreketi min dele bodo vi papa bakise limbodo sodo. We release divine order into our lives. O masse de veboshe. Lembre tivi mon condotto de revepoco shepre tivi masse todos na. Lembo gondos embri divi mas bebe veboshe pre divi me se ba. Lungo tole flibrete mas locoto sheprete femis. Te dono shabrale, lavle mondos bendin vi mondos barakaha shabrehe nimogoshe, leke dimas nende bafundo do brahmane vi bahasagante, leke ndishimete vi bozoto to le palafle mondos barakite moshe, lugudu le bafeti bogo de la brehe nimas mendeve mongondos na. Lugundos mandeve mongondos breve tipa casa tele floto oshe breve le mande vibigi. Ye mondos nande viposoto tole batere mingendes matele floto. Lugundos mate vi mashe lembrindi masneti kishe prete vi moso tola. Lobas pepeti vi mando bogoshe prete vi mahale moto goshe prete vi masneti bakasa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Reuben, can you come up here, Reuben? O basate le vlembre devi mande le mundos mandifi pokoshe. Hallelujah. O masate bos nondos matabata makashe. I have something for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. O basate le mante makasete mohoshe brevin. You knew how to flow with me, says the Lord. You learned how to flow with me in what I had you doing and in your last assignment. But now you're in a new place. And you're in a new phase, and you're entering into a realm of new blessing. And I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to train you, and I'm going to show you how to profit in a new place and in a new phase. And it'll be different. It won't be the same as what you've had before. But my blessing is my blessing, and my blessing is upon you. And my blessing is upon your hands. And whatever you put your hands to do will prosper, will increase, will be blessed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your blessing upon our brother. We thank you for equipping him and enabling him and empowering him in every way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ambosodola bazim behekite lo bozodola basnendi mongo shele bastete makasa. And you'll have questions and I'll have the answers, says the Lord. And you'll have things you're not certain of, but if you'll look to me, I'll bring you what you need. I'll show you what to do. I'll talk to you just as I've talked to you in the past. I'll talk to you. And things will be fresh and things will be new, but things will begin to flourish for you. Things will begin to flourish and they'll spring forth and there'll be fruit born. There'll be fruit that will come forth from your life and through your hands and through your words and through what you do and through even your ministry. There'll be fruit born that you haven't seen in the past and you haven't even known about. There'll be fruit that will come. There'll be fruit for the kingdom. Oh, there'll be fruit that comes for you that you can eat, but there will be great fruit that will come for the kingdom. There'll be kingdom fruit born through your hands and through your words and through your actions and through your seeds. There'll be fruit for the kingdom that will come as a result of what you do as you step into this new phase and into this new time. So lean on me, says the Lord. Lean on me and look to me and listen closely to me and I'll lead you and I'll guide you and I'll show you what to do and I'll open up doors for you and I'll bring people across your path and I'll bring you across the paths of other people and there'll be connections I'll make for you and hookups that I've designed for you. Oh, and you'll be blessed. 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 You'll be blessed in Jesus' name. You'll be blessed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just see all over you. I can't hardly unhook here, Reuben. I just see a cloud of God's blessing around you. Just a surrounding, like a... It's like a big cloud of smoke around you, and it's the blessing of God just around you and surrounding you. You're a blessed man. You are a blessed man. You are a blessed man, and God's favor is upon you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, doors that are opening. Doors that are going to be opening before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doors that are going to open up before you. Hallelujah. Listen closely. Listen closely so you'll know which ones are from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Not every door that opens is from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not every door that opens is authored by heaven. So be watchful. Be watchful and be steady and watchful and listening so you'll know what to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just lift our hands if you want to and praise God. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you for speaking to us. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful. We can come down here on a cold Wednesday night, get together, just two or three of us, and you're right here in our midst. We can come out down here after the days we've had and the times and the things we faced, and you are here with us, and you're here among us, and you speak to us from within, and you speak to us from without, and you talk to us and direct us and lead us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every person who's here tonight, for every need that they have in their lives, every need they have for order in Jesus' name. May order come. May order come in Jesus' name. May order come in their lives and in their families and in their careers and in their ministries. May order come in their thinking and in their finances. May order come in Jesus' name. We call for order, and we call for order in this church. May we be ordered, everything we do, ordered from heaven, the purpose, divine purposes in Jesus' name. The order, divine design here in this place. Hallelujah, 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 in Jesus' name. We receive order from heaven. We receive organization from heaven. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if there's things we need to throw out, just show us. If there's things we need to leave off, just show us. If there's things we need to add, go out and get and add to us, just show us, Father. We'll be obedient to you. We'll be obedient to you. We'll be obedient to you in Jesus' name. Not our will, but your will be done, because we know it's in your will that there's order. I tell you, it's in your will that we'll find satisfaction. It's in your will we'll find joy. Oh, we thank you tonight for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're so thankful. Thankful for the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Hallelujah. Ordering things. Oh, ordering us. And Father, I pray about these meetings coming up with Ed here that in just a few days, that these would be times of ordering here in our church and ordering in the lives of the people. And there'd be some things added that are missing, and there may be some things that are taken away, that are pruned away. Father, I thank you for a time of ordering among us and organizing even. Oh, ma se te levlo bogos nondo, spiritually speaking, and oh, bosande levlo dogos to do basne ni ma hashetele bogos to do la bafnindi boshela paz di de monocota. There'd be spiritual ordering. Oh, boso do la basteti ve mondo la bande vi magatele bos to do shebrev le minde bogos tondo bahanamaka dice. And things that are brought back in order that have been out of order. And lives brought back in order that have been out of order. And marriages brought back in order that have been out of order. And relationships and families. And even career paths and businesses and obosodola and financial circumstances. O masa hele mondo vle base di bogo inde bondon dos brevle mante bogo shele maha de mis ne no mo sho bala mandega. Brought back into order, brought to order, brought to divine order. Amasete le mondos bubikeshe le bos nondos mande. Libre disembodote difi moko tun mas di dimashe la mogondos mandaman diviboko. And things that have been in chaos for a long time, things that have been confusing, things that have been, oh, bosodola brete di ba ba ba, muddled. Oh, moshala brete, that there will be clarity. Clarity brought to all, even in these next days, even during these days of refreshing. Cutting through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not just having a meeting because we gonna have a meeting. No masodola, but ordered by you for this day and for this time and for this church and for these people. O masodola bahase bogoshe. Hallelujah. O masete makase poko. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we praise you and we thank you for what will happen. Hallelujah. For what will be done. And bodies brought into order. Hallelujah. Bodies brought into order in Jesus' name. Physical bodies brought into order. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's just a good example of how it can kindle up in you. You're just coming down to the little end and go, boop, 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 boop. Kindle up in you. You know what I'm talking about, Lamar? It's exciting. Praise God. Well, love you guys, and we'll see you. Wait a minute. Matt's got something he's going to say.
We're going to bring some order to our auditorium here. If you could, as you go out, we need all the cleaning boxes to go in this first pew down here. We're going to replace these cleaning boxes and just kind of pile them up right there. And I don't want to be cheap here, but if you...